talking about giving our children back to God. I almost want to ask all the children to close their eyes, because as parents, how many times have you thought about giving your child back to God? Thank you, Miss Judy. Been there. Tell by your laugh. One lady said, "I'd like to give them back, but I don't think God would take them back. I thought he had a no-return policy." And then she said, "Besides, I lost my receipt." The truth is that there probably is not one parent in this building this morning that hadn't thought for a split second about giving your kids back to God. Here are a couple of funny stories. One couple said, "When we first got married, we had three theories on raising kids. Now we got three kids and no theories at all." Bet y'all know that's right, Brent and Tamara, huh? A little boy came to his mom on her birthday and says, "Mom, what would you like for your birthday this year?" And she said, "I'd like three well-behaved children." And the little boy said, "Then you'd have six." Of course, that's not what we're talking about this morning when we talk about giving our kids back to God. What I'm talking about is that we understand, like I shared with Stevie and Daniel, is that our kids are a gift from God. They're gifts. They've always belonged to God. They've never been ours. That's hard for us to understand and realize sometimes, isn't it? The tough one is that we have to release ownership to our kids back to God. Like I say, they've always been His. We know that God's responsible for their design, for their makeup, for who they are, their character. All of that, their purpose, their plans, all of that's always been up to God, not us. I mean, I know for all five of mine, I have some plans that I'd like to see happen. But you know what? Ultimately, it belongs to God. And the quicker that Brian Simon and Nancy Simon and Daniel and Stevie, when y'all figure out that we need to seek God's plan for our kids, not my plans for my kids, a whole lot easier it gets, because then we don't get in that tug-of-war wrestling match with Him about what we want them to be. He's called them and has a plan for their life. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we tried to jump back into Romans chapter 12. We talked about being living sacrifices for God. Now then, we're talking about bringing our children and placing them on the altar as sacrifices, as living sacrifices to God, giving them back to Him. I think of several biblical examples of parents in Scripture that dedicated, that gave their children back to God. The first one I think of is Hannah bringing Samuel. Hannah prayed for a son. And depending on which commentator you look at, what scholar you read, he could have been anywhere between the ages of 5 and 12 years old. It says when he was weaned, and that's where the discrepancy comes in. What are they really talking about when he was weaned? But anywhere between 5 and 7 years old, 5 and 12 years old, excuse me, she brought him back and presented him to the temple and allowed the priest to raise him. That'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? As a parent. And then we think about Joseph. Well, and I had the scripture there. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and He granted me my request, and now I'm giving him to the Lord. And he'll belong to the Lord his whole life. And it says they worshiped there. That's pretty powerful. And then Joseph and Mary, they brought Jesus to the temple. Luke 2, 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. And then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. But the example that I want us to look at this morning, probably one of the best known scriptures or stories in scripture, is Abraham presenting his son Isaac. Turn to Genesis chapter 22 if you have your Bible, and some of the passages will be on the screen just for the sake of time turning. but we'll spend most of our time in Genesis chapter 22. And I think, in my opinion, this is probably one of the hardest things that a dad ever had to do, is to present his son. Look at what it says in verse 1. It says, "Now after these things, God tested," and this is from the Amplified, "God tested the faith and the commitment of Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and Abraham answered, 'Here I am.'" I need to be reminded sometimes that when God tests us, the test is not for God's benefit. God knows my heart. God knows what I'm capable of. God knows what's going on. The test is always for our benefit. For God to show us some things about us. For God to teach us some things about himself. And I think that's what kind of, one of these kind of tests where God was testing Abraham to show Abraham some things about God. And even teach Abraham some things about himself. I love Abraham's relationship to God. Because it says the Bible called out to Abraham, and you don't get this delayed response. You almost get the opinion that immediately Abraham answered and said, "I'm here. Here I am." It tells us that Abraham was constantly listening for the voice of God. He was always in a place where he could hear God, not distracted by anything else. He kept one ear open. I don't think God had to call him two or three times. I bet God didn't use his middle name like our mamas do with us sometimes when he's trying to get our attention. He called Abraham, and Abraham responded quickly. We talked in Vacation Bible this week how, and again, thank you so much for all of you that helped with Bible school, and thank you for bringing your children to Bible school. We had 4 students pray to receive Christ this year at Bible school. Super excited about following up on those commitments. And in fact, the coolest story I heard this week was on family night. I had a parent come to me and tell me before we got home, after I picked up our kids Tuesday night, when I picked up our 2 boys, both of my boys told me quickly that they prayed to receive Christ. That's a big step for a child to tell his parents that they prayed to receive Christ. We talked about how Paul on the road to Damascus, God called his name. That's the kind of the visual that you see here. We had the students. We shared the gospel that evening, and we talked about sin. And on the back of that hand, examples of I didn't read them, but on the front side, we had them write their name, and pictured that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And just had them think about their name being on that cross and their sins being covered, being paid for by what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And it was in that setting that we had those boys pray and trust Christ. Abraham was so close to God that when God called his name, he immediately responded. He heard God's voice. Notice what it said in verse 2. God said, "Take now your son, your only son," and I think that's important. The son of promise, the Amplified has that in brackets. This is the son you've been waiting for. This is the son we've been talking about. This is the one that's going to make you a father of great nation. The son of promise. Take your one and only son, the one you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him. There is a burnt offering. Sacrifice him, in parentheses, on one of the mountains of which I will tell you later. Do y'all understand that Isaac was a miracle baby? You remember how old Sarah was? She's in her 90s, isn't she? Abraham's way on up, 100 years old. And they have this son. And after all that they've been waiting for, all that they'd gone through to have this son, now Abraham's going to strap him to an altar and place wood on it and raise a knife and cut his throat like you would do that sacrificial lamb. Abraham would do that to his only son. One commentator I read even went into the ideal of just cremating him. He would burn there on that altar as Abraham would set fire to him. And from all indications, what I see in Scripture, Abraham was willing to do that because he loved God. The point of being obedient. I can't imagine having to sit there and watch my son experience that. The moms and dads, I'm not sure I've done it. Just being honest with you. I'm grateful for Abraham's example to us of what it looks like. But he did that. And I think the reality of it is, folks, that's what we need to be willing to do with our own children. If God commands us to and God asks us to. That's what we need to be willing to do. Because the best thing that Abraham did for Isaac was to offer him back to God. And the best thing that we do for our children is to give them back to God. Just to settle that up front. Give them back and say, God, they're yours. To do with as you please. For your glory. And I always say this, God's glory, the trickle down for us is pretty cool. When he's glorified in everything. So if Abraham had refused to do that, can you imagine where we would be today? What it would look like today. He'd have missed out on all of God's promises, all of God's plans for Isaac. Because Abraham obeyed, the Bible tells us that Isaac got all that God had promised. He became a wealthy man. Jesus came from his bloodline. We know the Messiah because of Abraham and Isaac's faithfulness to God. And so let's see what we can learn about Abraham when it comes to surrendering our children back to God. The first thing I want us to see this morning is that it confirms our love for God. We see confirmation there. For me to trust, for me to surrender, for me to give my children back to God means that I love him more than I love my own children. That's a pretty powerful statement to make. It almost sounds not right. To say I love God more than I love my kids. That's where our heart needs to be. I love my children. But when our children become more important than God, then Houston, we got a problem. And I see lots of parents that are struggling in raising their children because they're trying to do what's best for their children. They think that they know what's best for their children instead of allowing God to determine the plans and the outcomes and the purposes and loving God first and then loving their children second. Here's what I think that looks like to me, that I'm going to discipline my child when they need it. I'm going to set boundaries with my children because they need it. We need boundaries. Those are good things for us. I can't tell you how many times me and Mama, we've had to change the boundaries, move the boundaries. When we first went to the children's home, I was going to be a great youth minister to all those kids that God was, and I found out real quick, they don't need another youth minister. They need a mom and dad. And so what we had to do after we've lost several kids that would come in and go, me and Nancy had to realize, you know what? We got to pull these boundaries in a little bit. And they got to be clear. And they got to be plain for our kids. I told you what my dad always used to tell me. If you swear you're going to throw one through a plate glass window the next time they do something, you better be buying glass. Say what you mean what you say. Which means your consequences need to be enforceable. Right? You got to be enforceable. And I think that's exactly what Abraham proved by showing us his willingness to sacrifice Isaac. Is that God was most important in his life. He proved that he loved God. Matthew says this, and I think I have it on the screen. That he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross, and the Amplified says that means expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example, living, and if need be suffering or perhaps dying because of my faith, you're not worthy of following me. That's a big commitment. It doesn't mean that we hate our kids. It means that we love God more. And then we can love our kids the right way too. Love our husbands and wives the right way. So giving our children back to God confirms our love for God. Second thing it does is it clears up the ideal of ownership. There's some clarification there. When we give our children back to God, we're saying we understand that our children are gifts from God. We understand our children don't belong to us. We know that our child belongs to God. And then we have the privilege, the responsibility to train them up. This verse stuck after we talked about it in your soon-to-be office, I hope. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And we'll come back to this verse in a minute. But remembering, always remembering that the children are not ours, that they belong to God. I truly believe that's what Abraham in his heart was saying. Is God, Isaac belongs to you. He always has belonged to you. He's never belonged to me. All five of mine, they don't belong to me. Kenny, your three kids don't belong to y'all. They're God's. As he sees fit, we allow him to do what he wants to do. They're on loan to us. And I'm grateful that they're on loan to me. In fact, Psalms 127 says this, children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from him. You know what? Since they're not mine, since they're on loan to me, I better be careful how I treat them. I better be careful how I love them. I better be careful to take care of God's property. Daddy always used to say, you give it back better than it was when you got it. And that's what we need to try to do for our kids, is to give them back and that they return to God in better shape than they were when we got them because of our understanding that we love him first and that they belong to him. To help us do that. And I think this is important. And I'm glad I'm in a church that I could say stuff like this and not have to worry about it. But God never authorized the government to take care of your kids. It's been our responsibility to take care of our kids. Contrary to what one famous politician said, it doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes godly parents to raise a child. It's our responsibility to love them. Number three, giving our children back to God says that we're making a commitment to raise them the way God wants them to be raised. Look at what Ephesians 6:4 says. And again, this is the Amplified, and I apologize that the print's so small. But it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them. But then he goes on to say, but bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. That's a command that we have as parents. Children, I think it'd do you well to go back and look before it says that about parents. It says, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. What that says to me is I need to be somebody that's worth being honored. I don't think we get the choice. We're to honor them and love them anyway. But I need to be somebody that wants to be loved, that they would want to love and honor and take care of. So what are we saying by when we're making this commitment? And Miss Nikki, you can just put both of them up on the screen. To be godly parents, to teach them about Jesus, to keep them in church. Don't drop them off. Bring them. And I got to say this here. Be careful how much sports stuff you enroll your kids and sign them up for. I don't think there's a plot to keep them out of church, but it sure looks like it from where I'm standing. It's going to be really sad that you got athletic kids, but none of them make it to heaven. They can throw a mean baseball, but they don't know what it means to get into heaven because We got them signed up for too much stuff. So take them to church. Keep them in church. Love on them. Pray for them. Train them. This is another big one. Stay married. Work on your relationship with each other, husband and wife. Stay married. I hate what it's doing to my grandkids. I hate it. And now I'm not saying stay married just for the kids. What I'm saying is it takes work for us to stay married and stay in a relationship the way God wants us to stay. So, I mean, that's a whole nother sermon, isn't it? We need to stay married. And I don't know how to say it. Make home home. Make it a home. Live by example. That's what it means to commit to raising our children the way God wants us to be, wants us to raise them. Like I said earlier, what we did at the beginning of the service doesn't mean anything unless Daniel and Stevie are committed to everything that God wants them to be and everything that God wants them to do to make sure Hadley comes to know Christ. It's just another service. It's just another ritual. It's just, I don't think it meant that with this family. I don't. I think they were serious in what they said and what they want to do. I'm reminded of what Joshua told the children of Israel when they were settling into their new home. He said in Joshua 24, "So fear the Lord and serve Him with all of your heart. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you now live?" But Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That's the commitment that we need to make. In church, if we want our children to turn out right, then we need to lead them right. We need to set good examples, godly examples for them to follow. And then the fourth thing it says, I think, that we see from Abraham's example is that we're claiming God's plan and purposes for our children. Go back and look at Genesis 22:15. Verse 15 says, "My Lord, listen to me. A piece of the land worth 400... I'm in the wrong one. 22, not 23. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son.'" I love that God knew and understood Abraham's heart and how much he loved his son. Because God would take his one and only son one day and sacrifice him for us. So he says, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And by your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." And so Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and they went to Beersheba, and Abraham lived there. What it says to me is, my children, it says that we were blessed because of Abraham's obedience. And your children will be blessed because of your obedience. And your children, when they're obedient to the Lord, guess what? Their children will be blessed. And it's like, y'all remember the old Germack commercial? And they tell two people and so on and so on. That's way before a lot of y'all's time. But it's just, the trickle down's amazing when we're obedient to what God's called us to do. I know our kids have free wills. My children are loaded with it. But just think about how great their odds are when we're obedient to what God's called us to do. And we've lived godly lives. We understand who they belong to. We're committed to raising them the best we can to our ability and the Holy Spirit's power to see them come to know the Lord. And we settle all these issues. Remember what I said about Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And then the benefit is even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I've seen that promise lived out in my kid's life. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that they're now training their children to love Lord, to love God. And so this is what it means. You can put the last slide up there, Miss Nikki. This is what it means. It means to confirm your love for Jesus over everyone else and everything. Was there any doubt about how much Abraham loved God? Not at all. It clears up the ideal of ownership. Abraham made it very clear that Isaac belonged to God, and he always did. It's a commitment to raise our children under the lordship of Jesus Christ, to do it God's way, not our way. I bet that Abraham, when he was walking down that mountain, had a clear commitment to be the right kind of parent that God called him to be. Especially when God gave him the second chance to do it. And then it claims God's best plans and God's best purpose for our children's life. Abraham wanted the best for Isaac. Abraham understood that God wanted what God wanted for Isaac, and he prayed for that, and he lived up to that. He honored that. That's what we need to do. That's what it means to give our children back to God. Josh, I'm going to ask you to come and lead us in a time of invitation, but I think where it starts for some of you maybe is maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where it ultimately starts. You can give your child back to God, but if you've never given yourself to God, it's going to be hard to do all those things. So maybe this morning you're a parent here and say, I've never trusted the Lord as my Savior. I've never given my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Maybe that's what you need to do today. I would love to share with you how you can come to know Christ personally, as some 7- and 8-year-old kids did at Vacation Bible School. Aren't you glad that the gospel is so simple that even a child can understand it? Clearly understand it. And they know what it means to go and tell somebody. Told mom and dad. So maybe you need to do that today. Maybe this morning you're a parent that says, you know what? My kids are 30, 40, 50 years old. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, but God, I'm going to give it back to you. Maybe you've got some children that are lost, that have never come to know Christ. Remember what we said about they have a free will? We can do the best we can. We can do everything that we know that God's called us to do. And our children can still make some decisions. It's not your fault. But maybe by an act of just coming forward and coming to this altar, you're going to say, God, but I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to trust you with my children, my grown kids. So whatever God's laid on your heart, would you please respond to him this morning? God, I pray that in these next few minutes, as we sing, as we worship you, Lord, maybe we just need to be quiet before you and hear what it is you're saying to us. Maybe you're calling our name, and we need to respond to you in faith. I pray that you would help us to do that today. Lord, there may be other commitments that you've laid on our heart. And just maybe we need to publicly come to the altar. Maybe publicly we need to tell somebody about that decision. Lord, I pray, give us the boldness to do that. Lord, in the next few minutes, I pray that we would just respond to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.